Just to go along what we were reading a few minutes ago, I'd like you to go to Matthew 24, as I really believe we're living in the last days. I'm not going to give you any dates. I don't have any dates. No man knows the dates. But there are some things you can read on your own. I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts here in Matthew 24 and verses 4 through 7 here. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, seeing that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And if you look down in verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Father, we pray as we go through this time of our biblical opportunities here to do what we can do for all men as Christians. Help us indeed to see the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in all this, that we have a wonderful Savior that's with us, that can help us in all trials and tribulations. So help us to look at these things and take them to heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at maybe one of our aspects of our Savior. Go back to Matthew 11 and the last three verses, 28 through 30, because we're going to allude to these different qualities that we can have in our own life. It says there, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We have all these things going on in our life, and it's easy to get caught up in focusing on news programs, all the things that are happening about us. But you know what? The Lord is in control. He has the answers to our every problem. We can cast our care upon him. And so what are some of the things that we can do? Well, he gives us the Beatitudes. I just want to share a few of them with you. Go back to chapter 5 of Matthew, and then we're going to look at some of the things Paul says as he wrote these many epistles, but just some thoughts here in Matthew chapter 5 and knowing some of these things that we can take to heart. It says in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So here's some of the opportunities we have as we look in these Beatitudes, the idea of humility and to have compassion for others. We just lost two of our friends in the past 4 days that passed away rather suddenly, and there's folks that are left behind, but God is there to comfort us, and we can be all these different qualities because you know what? We have the fruit of the Spirit. It's not a bad thing each and every day as we look at our spirit. You know, you've been around maybe in a workplace where the spirit isn't always quite right or whatever it is. Sometimes our own spirit is not right. The Bible says in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. There's been many times in my life that my spirit wasn't right, but God can give us that right spirit. And as he examines my heart, I know that the blood of Christ will cleanse me from all my sin. You know, and if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we look at these things here now in our little handout, did everybody get a handout? Raise your hand if you did not get a handout. Okay, did they get a handout? It's over here. Everyone got a handout? Okay, very good. Thank you. So what Christians can do for all men for the glory of God? You know, as we look at this, one thing about it is we want to do good over evil. Tonight I'll be preaching in Romans chapter 12. It is sort of like the constitution of the New Testament. And there are certain things that we can learn in a general way, in a specific way. But when I got out of the Navy, I was a troubleshooter for Ohio Bell. Now, I was usually looking for one piece of trouble. It wasn't like when a person had phone trouble, it was all over the place. There was one area that was a problem spot, you know. Might be a squirrel bite. It might be a cable with water in the cable or whatever it is. It might be a drop line rubbing against a tree limb. There's usually just one problem that was a stumbling block for communication. As we look at this, maybe there's something in our life that's a stumbling block that's creating us an issue where we're not communicating. You know, obviously, we can look at the first things first. What causes? There's three main things the devil uses: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Everything else is sub points. You know, if you're argumentative, you know, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. We ought not to be a situation where we're in a position of being a person that's always in arguments. And there's, you know, when it comes to being peaceable, we want to be peacemakers. But here we see Paul wrote these things, what we can do for all men. And then I'll give some thoughts here, what Jesus said in some of these areas as well. We want to stretch ourselves. We want to redeem the time for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be 72 in a few days, and the Lord gave me 70 years, and I got a couple bonus years already. But I want to finish my course well. And Paul did, as we'll see tonight. He finished the course. But it says in 1 Corinthians 9:19, and you'll see these darkened words. And when I get to that darkened word, say it with me, will you please? For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 that the Lord Jesus Christ came in as example as a servant, you know, a humble, obedient servant. And that's what we need to be as well. It says in Matthew 10:44 and 45, Jesus said, whosoever of you will be chiefest of all shall be servant of all. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered, but to minister, and shall be a servant to all. And if the Lord Jesus Christ, as he showed in John 13, gives us an example of serving those disciples, even Judas, knowing that he was going to be betrayed, we ought to be in an attitude of serving. Sometimes we talk about waiting on the Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but we go from restaurant in restaurant. Right now, we like to do the 2 to 5 thing at Arby's or whatever it is, get the $1 shake or whatever. We have a $5.50. We have one of the greatest servants we have is at Chinese restaurant over on Warren Road. These are Chinese girls from China. And it's $5.50 all you can eat. You know, you can eat American or whatever, roast beef or pizza or whatever. You know, so we try to really gang up on the vegetables and other stuff like that. But those gals are helping one another. While they're waiting, they're serving, you know. And while we wait on the Lord, we ought to be serving, you know, and looking for opportunities to help. And God can open up opportunities. My son is going to have probably a heart transplant in the near future. And so we'll be taking him back into our home for a while. And he lives in the Tremont area over there, not too far from the West Side Market, maybe a mile from there by Cleveland. And basically, one of his friends that works in one of the restaurants is moving to Arizona. Why, I do not know. You know. But anyway, she's going to Arizona, and she's going to give us our air conditioner, her air conditioner. So I said, you know, we'll give her some money for that. I gave her some extra money. But I prayed before she came that I could witness to this gal. You know, and I had a track. I had one of our promises of God, helping hope for the hurting. I put it in there. And she came and she couldn't have been more open. Was able to give her my testimony and talk to the Lord. You know, when people come to the door or whatever it is, you know, maybe that's an opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. People are going through things. Okay, Romans 12:17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Matter of fact, in that book of Romans there, if you can just maybe put this in your margin there. I just noticed that as I was looking at this here. It says in Romans chapter 13, on verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife or envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We live in a very dishonest society. So this average person, I don't know how they do this, but average person lies at least 11 times a day, you know. And if you ask most people, they lie, they'll say yes, you know. And it's just brought up in our whole area. I have a friend who was a principal at Heritage Christian. He said in the 25 years he was principal, only one kid fessed up. And this is supposed to be a Christian school. That they were wrong. They were a quack, they were a liar or whatever it is. But, you know, that's pretty remarkable how folks do not want to admit dishonesty. There was a fellow that was being interviewed for a bank teller, and the bank president took him out to eat, and he seemed like things were going well. He knew his mathematics, he had some experience. But he saw the guy take a little tab of butter and put it under the cafeteria table and cheated him out of 3 cents. He thought, if that banker's going to cheat the cafeteria out of 3 cents, he's going to cheat us out a lot more. People are watching us. We need to be honest on all our dealings and what we do. God wants a good and honest heart. And that's, you know, I call it the four H's of Christianity. We want to be honest before the Lord. You just mentioned humility. You know, God resists the proud and give us grace to the humble. This is a tough one. Holiness. People don't want to hear about it today. God wants us to be a holy people. Sanctify. Be holy, for I am holy. He has called us out to be a shining light as a holy, acceptable people unto the Lord. And then an honorable vessel before God. I want to be an honorable vessel. I got an honorable discharge. I actually got the Bronze Star when I was in the Navy, aboard my ship and so forth, and that kind of thing. But I want to be an honorable vessel for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my sister ship, over 130 men were killed. We were losing pilots all the time. There was a man, we found out later, that was a spy for the Russians, and he was able to decode all our F-15 dropping bombs over Vietnam. He let the North Vietnamese know about every one of our positions when we were dropping them. You know, he was not an honest man. He killed thousands. I mean, I wouldn't say thousands, but almost all our pilots that were shot down was because of this man giving them the word on these SAM missiles and so forth. And you know what? When we look these scriptures here, and we don't look at it honestly and humbly, we're killing fellowship around us. Sometimes killing fellowship with our Lord, maybe in a workplace, when we show our temperament. I caught, you know, they have, I mentioned the last time, this idea is our thought life. Think about T's, our thought life, our tongue, our temperament. You know, when we go in a workplace or in our home, how do we react to situations, you know? So the idea is be humble, be honest, be holy, be an honorable vessel before the Lord. Okay, Romans 2:18, you ready here? If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's a tough one, isn't it? There are some people that are not easy to get along with. If I mention neighbors, does anything come to mind? You know, I don't think today, you know, I live in the outer city of Cleveland. You know, when you think of sensitive or senses, people are not sensitive to your ears, you know. On Friday night or whatever, they don't care, you know. I don't know if they think they can keep their music within that 40 by 40, whatever they call music or whatever. And it's hard to be peaceable, but we try to do good over evil nevertheless, you know. These things shall pass, you know. And my old, you know, German attitude wants to come flaring out, but I think, you know, you got to pick your battles. Pick your battles before you think about this. That soul that's playing that loud music, only by the grace of God go I. Or other things they may be doing. We had a couple of three drug runners across the street, and just praying for them. Every eye I look in is someone that Jesus died for. So let's live peaceably among all men. We just said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We have a peacemaker in our family. When things get a little rougher, I don't know about you, but we have five family households in the region. We have one family household that's hard to keep them stabilized out as my father-in-law is dying. But my Stephanie, I mentioned her because she's our peacemaker, and she always has the final solution, you know, on how to handle these argumentative people in the family when my father-in-law is dying. And we just listen carefully when she speaks, you know. And so it's good to be a peacemaker and to look for those areas in your life where can you bring this peace, because they want to ultimately have the peace as in Christ Jesus, therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, the idea of doing good. Well, I slipped up here, but that's okay. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Sometimes people get tripped up in James 2, you know, as we ought to have a fruitful faith, you know. James says, if you're truly a genuine Christian, there's going to be good works coming out of you. You're going to be fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit. You know, as I said before, we can ask the Lord, give us that love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's available to us. That'll help us through these trials as we go through them. Let us look over on the other side real quickly here. Just some things about neighborhood organization. I was on staff as a visitation director. My office was open 5 days a week. We follow up on many calls. It might be bus calls. It might be visitor calls. It might be discipleship calls. Oversaw the discipleship on Wednesday. And my wife would teach ladies Bible study. They'd have their calls. But I organized them according to neighborhoods. For instance, we have Mr. Frost. Did you have Mr. Frost? Open. But anyway, he was a school teacher there. He lived on West 143rd Street. I gave him new move-ins, shut-ins, and he could just pick up his calls and work the neighborhood. And if he wanted to canvass that region, he could do that as well. So the idea is have an idea in your mind what you can do to carry out the Great Commission. When you work your neighborhood, it saves time, gas, and postage. We have one church that was actually sending out postage, you know, tracks and so forth. I think now 50 cents a track, you know. We try to get out there and get the gospel out to people. Flexible to serve in favorable weather. I don't trust Cleveland. The weather people I have the guts to say 0% chance of rain, and it's coming down in buckets, you know. And what really disturbs me is simple mathematics. I love mathematics, you know. And Brother Bill, they'll say, high today is going to be 46 degrees. Right now it's 48. I'm going, you just said the high is going to be 46 and it's 48. How can you do that? Does anybody monitor this? So basically, the idea here is you can go out, you know, around the weather. We have some heart issues, so we go out earlier sometimes. Nehemiah 2, 8 and 10, able to carry out the Great Commission more effectively and enjoyably. I mean, I enjoy going out there, and I'm part of the neighborhood. I'm looking at the flower beds and so forth. I'm always complimentary when I visit people, even where it says no soliciting. You know, people are unusual. When you show courtesy and kindness towards people, it's very unusual. You know, show you really care about what's going on. People respond to that. You know, I work in a lot of Black and Spanish neighborhoods, and boy, I'll tell you what, I enjoy that. I've been doing that for 40 years. And they can tell I really care about them. You know, there's no axe to grind. I love them. They love me. I oversaw Black ministries. We used to, in 1980, I would preach at one place at 9:30, another at 11, and another at 12, at three different places in the projects, you know. We started two churches out of that, you know. Then I oversaw the Spanish ministry. And just getting out there among the people, let them know we care about their souls. And then just a couple more. Here go in number five, to include the whole family and neighbors of church members, visiting them. We visit, like Mrs. Coulter has Alzheimer's, but we can work her neighborhood. We systematically work Northeast Ohio with our blitzes, but we have teams that have been going out for decades, covering the neighborhoods with the gospel. That's what they need. And then number eight, to walk wisely toward them that are without, also helps physical fitness. I'm able to keep my weight down and time to pray with the folks and so forth. Actually, I'm not sure if it's still the culture is still in a Black neighborhood like this or not, but I would go back in 1978, 79, and I'd ask them, do you have any prayer requests? And they would invite me into the home, you know. So it gets me in the home. So I would say to the person, and I was working basically on the east side of Cleveland, and I said, well, listen, before we pray, you know what? The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. So here's what I want you to do is I want to show you how for sure you can have your sins forgiven and a home in heaven by trusting Jesus as your Savior. Can I show you that? Yes. So that way I can sit down and share the gospel. I go into a nursing home, dying, I might play the cello. Sometimes I go in there and we have no appointment, but I have a cello. So what I do, Jamie, is I go in with a lot of authority. So they all think he knows what he's doing. You know, I'm actually just visiting one lady that's dying in one of the rooms. And all of a sudden, everybody gathers around and we're able to give it out. But just use what you have for the glory of God. We'll cover some more of these in the evening tonight. Okay, turning it over here again, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do toward you. The Lord Jesus says, love your enemy, do good to them, pray for them and bless them. And if we love our enemy, certainly ought to love everybody in between, you know. But, you know, there are things that you can do to just do good over evil. And sometimes I had a person in the workplace hated my guts. You ever have anybody like that? I'm sure not you did, but I mean, he just despised me, you know. But he had a bad back. And I thought, you know what, it's Christmas time, and I'm going to get him. I was like, I think it was very expensive. I can't remember how much it was. It was like 20 years ago. But I got him one of those back massagers that vibrates that you put in the bath. You know, it was the biggest gift I got from anybody, you know. And I mean, you talk about doing good over evil. He became my best buddy, you know, after that. It doesn't have to be, it could be just soup. We take soup into the neighborhoods or whatever's chilly. On Thursday, Diane and I were up visiting. We were in the old Brooklyn area. And she was also tutoring in Broadview Heights. And just doing good for those folks. We brought chili to five different households. A weed whack for my mother and father-in-law. Whatever my hands fun to do, do with all thy might, you know. And you can do things for people. Do good. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now, when you're showing love, you're showing kindness. You're showing generosity. You're showing sacrifice, you know. This love that people call love today, it's not love. It's lust. They can say all they want to say, but it's not happening, you know. And we need to be sacrificial, kind, caring, available people to these folks. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:14b. This is another fun one. Be patient toward all men. You know, I don't know about you, but there's areas of my life where I have lacked patience. I'm on the road. Honestly, folks, when I was a former repairman, they show us these gory pictures every month about these car accidents and so forth. I drove a van for a while, Bill, and they showed us every conceivable terrible thing. So I drive the speed limit. And I enjoy just going the speed limit. But you know what? I am hated. I just get over in a far right lane. I don't understand why people just don't go in the center lane or whatever it is. But I mean, basically, when I get into a supermarket, that's when I have to really be patient. You know, we have marks. You know, where do you have marks around here? Okay. Every time they just get marks right, they have some super duper lady that's going to fix up marks again. I just got it all figured out, you know. Now they're going to have someone, you know, they're going to just put the dairy over to the right and whatever. And I'm going, what are you doing? I just got to figure it out, you know. And I mean, I have an old lady just shove me, not that I'm that young, shove me over in the produce area and I'm spun around. And I'm, you know, it takes a lot of patience to do shopping. Amen, man? I mean, it really does, you know. I have a system. I have a list I'm sticking with. They have music going. I'm a two-song man. I want to be in that checkout line in two songs. I'm going to get my stuff, stick with the list, and get out of there. And I always park and get out of there, point it out. So if two SUVs get on both sides of me with my little Malibu, I'll be able to see my way out. But it takes a lot of patience to live in this world and in the workplace. And in James, it says, let patience have your perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So just the idea of laying low when there's suffering going on, we can still have the joy of the Lord no matter what the circumstance is. Okay, let's look at 2 Timothy 2:1. I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The Bible says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. I was, this may seem like trivial stuff. I'll tell you, when I do things once every 10 or 20 or never done them, it's like I came across something about our dryer ducts. I'm sure this is going to probably arouse the attention of a lot of people. But the dryer ducts are like, you know, 15 feet, you know. And the last time the guy did it was about 3 years ago. He says, you can start a fire. You know, all of a sudden I was thinking, I woke up one night, I forgot all about it. As I was doing the dryer duct and cleaning out dryer, I'd like to do my laundry, give my wife a little slack when I'm doing my shower or whatever. And I do clean other things in the dryer duct. But I thought, I haven't done the dryer ducts. I don't want the house to burn down, you know. So, I mean, I've never done it before. I mean, I didn't realize how many canisters and whatever it is. So my wife is she's a very clean person. So I'm thinking, I'm trying to like a MacGyverism. What am I going to do to keep all that junk isolated? So I thought, I'm going to take a Mark's bag, you know, I have to go to Mark's, and cap off both ends and then take this dryer duck out and clean it up. And on one of our, I have one of these a tree trimmer poles that's about 18 feet long, and I'm just going to just work it through. That worked out well and so forth. But I'm telling you, it took me so long to put that dryer duct together, you know. I even marked it off one, two, you know, as far as the pieces coming together. And so all I had made in the shape, I forgot. My wife always comes behind me and cleans up after me, you know. So she comes up and tells me the bad news that she was moving the dryer around and the duct came off. I'm going, oh, man. So it's back over there. The problem is, I'm 6'3". There's about 18 different places I can hit my head or, you know, I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing or whatever. It takes a lot of patience. I got it done. I wanted to get it done in an hour. It took me 2 hours and 15 minutes. But it's done, you know. So stick with it. You know, whatever it be, a dryer duck. I'm sure somebody this week is going to be going after their dryer ducks because it could happen. According to them, you know, there's tens of thousands of people. I don't know where they get these statistics at, you know. I think they were saying there's 25,000 new homeless people, you know, a day or whatever it is. One guy said, in 2 months, we don't have to worry because we're all going to be homeless or whatever it is. So, but anyway, be patient in all circumstances. And then, obviously, you want in prayers and supplications. Then in 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Lord Jesus says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now listen, you say, well, I'm not a great soul winner. Well, you have your testimony. Use your testimony. I'm on Facebook. All I do is put Bible scriptures, prayer requests, and puns. I do a lot of puns, you know. Diana puts the recipes and all these other things, you know. And, you know, you girls, you have a lot of, I should weigh 500 pounds, you know, all these recipes that come our way. And I just love the recipes. And you just spout them out. And you know, what was it the other day? One lady got 300, how to use shrimp, you know, 300 different shrimp casseroles, you know. She said, I have raw shrimp. What should I do with it? 300 pieces of advice about raw shrimp, you know. Now, we'll talk about raw shrimp, but we won't talk about the Lord. So what I'm saying is be excited as much about the Lord as other things that we do in our life. Have enthusiasm for what God has done in your life. And then we look at 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them the repentance to acknowledging of the truth. So the idea, I have a friend named Tom Reed, just passed away last year. He was 95 years old, but he was a gentle man. He was a World War II veteran in the Navy. But he went out, even in his 90s, until his last year, visiting in the nursing home, visiting widows, doing whatever he could. He was a very gentle, kind man. And I learned a lot from him. I have a friend named Miss Hattie. He almost gave me a heart attack. I called Miss Hattie's house a couple of weeks ago, and they said, Miss Hattie has passed away. He passed away. They were lying to me. They thought I was a telemarketer. And so I thought my pastor know, you know, and so forth. And he's, you know, he's letting the church know Miss Hattie passed away, you know. And so Miss Hattie is a kind, gentle person. When I saw Miss Hattie in the flesh, I gave her a hug. She's 91 years old. I gave her cards. You know, she does her card ministry or whatever. But she's a gentle person, kind person. That's a great quality. And we have the truth in the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in him, and shall be with him forever. John 15, the Comforter shall come, who I send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. We have the truth of the Spirit of God within us. Okay, Titus 3:2, to speak evil, someone mentioned this earlier, this is another tough one, of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. You know, I think of the last election. It was like evil, evil, evil. I mean, it's like a barrage of evil. But to be gentle in the spirit of meekness and have that meekness towards all men. I'm sorry, I used your word. Let's do it together. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And we're supposed to help those that are going through struggles, you know, help recover them in a spirit of meekness in Galatians 6:1. That's a situation many years ago where we were helping a church and met with one of the pastors. Our crew came out to help. We met him for lunch, out in that region. And the young man I hadn't seen for a long time came in, and he was like in a rage. And he was ragging on a pastor and all these things and all kinds of bad things. So I sat him down and talked to him for quite a while. I said, "Where do you live now?" And he says, "I live in Brunswick." I said, "Well, there's a fine pastor out there, one of my dear friends, and he's a very kind, compassionate man. And I said, just give him a try." You know what? He went out there, and he became an active member in that church. He put off all that bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. He became a kind, tender-hearted person for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we need to be that. And finally, we'll just throw Peter over there. We have Paul. We'll give Peter a verse here too as well. And we'll also mention the same thing here. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." All three chapters of Titus deal with hope. I'll just share 1:3, which Paul wrote. First of all, read Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:3. "A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a living Savior. We have a resurrected Savior. There's no other belief system that has that. Titus, in hope of Titus 1:3, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, hath promised before the world began." That's Titus actually 1:2. I mean, we have that lively hope anchored on the promises of God. But let's look at that in review quickly. Where can we grow in this? In the Spirit, what kind of servants are we in this? And what kind are we honest before men in our dealings and so forth? Do we live peaceably? We have to live peaceably with all men. Are we trying to do good? Let your light so shine before men. We need to be a shining light to show go forth our good works. Do we love like we should? With a sacrificial, kind, gentle, patient love. Are we patient towards all men? Are we praying for our leaders and those that need our prayers, those about us? When someone comes to mind, pray for them. Are we trying to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ, or are we becoming different? You know, we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ as Christians about what we are accountable. Have we persuaded men? Are we ambassadors for Christ? Are we gentle? Do we acknowledge the truth in our life through repentance of sin in our own life and the lives of others? Do we have a spirit of meekness, having a lowliness of mind in the area of being under control, under submissiveness? And we have that lively hope. Have every head bowed and every eye closed. And as we give the invitation, I'm going to have Jamie come forth and have an invitation to him. And as you're sitting there, you say, "Brother Starr, there is one area, at least, that I, by God's grace, this week, I'm going to ask the Lord to help me to improve on that area, by the Spirit, by the Word of God, by prayer, by application." Say, "Brother Starr, there's some things in my life here that apply to me in these different topics. Would you pray for me?" Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Have everyone stand, and if God has talked to your heart and you want to respond and ask the Lord to help you in one particular area, it might be in the workplace, it might be in your home, it might be in your neighborhood, it might be in the marketplace, just that Lord can help you in these areas. So as Jamie plays the hymn of invitation, respond as the Lord would have.